Okay, guys, we're on sheet 15. And we are trying today to work out something which I think is very important, which is, this is the first of really two parts, because next time we'll see the Sefer HaChinuch. But why do we do what the rabbis tell us to do? There are so many things that we do on a daily basis. All the mitzvahs, the rabbanon that we keep, and the brachas we make, and the tefillah that we say, etc. So much of it is rabbinic in origin. I just need to know, where is the authority? Which people have this authority? Is it the Sanhedrin? Is it the Gemara? Is it the rabbis today? Just shut the door after you come in. If some group of rabbis stand up and say today that we all have to buy a kosher phone, or that we all have to go to the army, or that we can't go to the army, or like, what authority do any of these people have? Do I have to listen? Now, I'm not talking about asking a specific shaila to a specific person. If I ask a specific shaila to somebody and they give me a psak, we'll see what the force of a psak halacha is. That's something different. I'm just asking about general authority to create these gezeiros and sakonot, etc. So today I want to really talk about the shita of the Rambam. And it's a little bit complicated because we're going to be looking at the Rambam in a number of different places. One second. Abby, what are you doing?
She's making it colder.
No, well, I'm not, actually.
Not really.
I'll take it off the arm.
Okay, fine.
Wait, and take it off the drawer.
The Rambam. Let's
not want to talk about the sheet of the Rambam.
The Rambam. Next time we'll be talking about the Sefer Chinuch. The Rambam. I'm accessing today from a number of places, and just be aware of where the Rambam's coming from. We're going to be looking about the Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim, in the Mishneh Torah, where he sets out the halacha. We're going to be looking at the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which is his list of the 613 mitzvahs at the beginning of the Mishneh Torah. And we're also going to be looking at the Rambam in the Hakdama to the Mishneh Torah. He wrote an introduction to the Mishneh Torah. Up until now, we've been looking mostly at the Rambam in the Hakdama to the Perush HaMishnayos. But you have to get these books clear in your mind. The Rambam wrote a number of different things. One was a commentary on the Mishnah, which he wrote when he was young. He wrote a long, detailed hakdama, a long, detailed introduction to that, where he sets out what is the oral law, what is Torah Shebal Peh. That's where he set out the five-fold divisions that we've been talking about of Torah Shebal Peh all the way through. Today we're focusing more on the introduction to the Mishneh Torah, where he talks about this issue of Lo Sosor. Therefore, just be aware where I'm bringing stuff from, so you know which part of the Rambam I'm referring to. Let's have a look at the Psukim again in number one to refresh our memories. And let's look more in a more focused way on the exact wording. So it says like this, Ki yipale mimcha davar lemishpat. When there is a question, says the Psukim in the Torah, in Parsha Shoftim, in judgment, bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega, different kinds of halachic question. We talked about that last time, dam ladam, whether it's a murder based in question, or whether it's din ladin, or it's a monetary question, negla negla, ritual question. Divrei rivois b'sharecha, and there's a debate or there's a dispute in your local based in. The kamta va'alisa el hamakon, and I'm here focusing on the place. It says you will go to the place, asher yivcha Hashem elokecha bo, which God will choose. Interestingly, the Chumash never defines where that place is. We know it's Yerushalayim, but that wasn't so straightforward, and there has to be a whole process of discovering that, which is part of Sefer Shmuel. If you learn Shmuel and David, and they're trying to work out where that place is, that's not for now. Okay, you will go to the place. Uvatai lakohenim alavim asher shofet asher b'yamim ha'heim. You will go to the judges and the kohenim and the levim in those days. The darashta, you will inquire, the higidu lecha, and they will tell you es dvar hamishpat. They will tell you what to do. Now, in the second pasuk, interestingly, it didn't refer to the place. It referred to, instead of place, what did it refer to? Time. You will go to the judges that live in your days. Which is interesting, because why did he need to say that? Which other days am I going to go to? Am I going to go to judges from 300 years ago? Okay, fine. So it seems to be implying that the judges in your days have priority over the judges that came before. But it doesn't say anything about the place. What's that, honey? So do we hold by Yeridah Adarah? Don't assume that we do before we start. It's not so straightforward. When it comes to the Sanhedrin, we do not say that later Sanhedrins are bound by earlier Sanhedrins, just because they are. We'll see in the Rambam. We'll see in the Rambam in a minute. But the second passage doesn't refer to a place. You will do what they tell you to do. Minamakom, again the place, ahu, asher yivcha Hashem, which God will choose. And you'll guard carefully what they teach you. And here are the mitzvahs now. Just shut the door, please. Here are the mitzvahs. Al pi haTorah asher yaruchah v'al hamishpat asher yomer lecha ta'aseh. Mitzvahs aseh, positive mitzvah. You will do what they tell you to do. Loi sasu min adav rasha yagidu lecha yomer nismah. And do not deviate, negative mitzvah, from what they tell you to the right or to the left. That we did last time. So there you see the two mitzvahs, the positive mitzvah and the negative mitzvah. Loi sasur is the negative mitzvah, and taaseh is the positive mitzvah. And I want to just really work out today, at least according to the Rambam, who these people are. It's a bit technical, but it's important, because then we'll be able to kind of categorize where all the authority is for the things that we do which are rabbinic in nature. Fine. Look at number two. Let's start with the Rambam. The Rambam introduces us first to the idea of the Sanhedrin. Kama bate din, dinim kavuim v'yeh b'Yisrael. How many fixed based bate din were there in the Jewish people? V'kama yeh minyanan. And what were their numbers? So it says, kovim b'tchila beit din hagadol, b'mikdash. We first have to have a Sanhedrin in the Beit HaMikdash. V'hu anikra Sanhedrin gedoyla. This is called the Great Sanhedrin. U'minyanam shivim v'echad. And he proves how the number is 71, like we have. So this is the Beit Din Hagadol. Fine. That we knew. Now, Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam deals with the positive and the negative separately in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And look at his wording carefully. I'm sure you picked up on this when you were learning. Number three. HaMitzvah HaKuf Ayin Dalet. These numbers obviously are just the numbers. Mitzvah number 174. He Shetzivanu. God commanded us. Lishmoa. To listen. Lebed Din HaGadol. Who are they again? Bed Din HaGadol? Sanhedrin. V'la'asot kol ma'ashitzivu bo. Mi'isr v'heter. And to do everything they told us to do, is and heter. Very straightforward. The positive mitzvah is to listen to the Sanhedrin Hagadol. Four. When he deals with the negative mitzvahs, the HaMitzvah HaShin Yud Bet, mitzvah number 312, he, just shut the door, thanks. If you go out and you come in again, just do me a favor and shut the door. Just helps, okay? Shehisiranu milachlok, that the mitzvah warns us, it tells us not to lachlok. What's lachlok? Okay, not to bicholik, not to debate, not to dispute. Al bale hakabbalah. Who are the bale hakabbalah? What does it mean, bale hakabbalah? Who are the? What did you think? Who are the bale hakabbalah? Yes.
Well, don't we call all the mushrooms in that Kabbalah? So
okay.
Like anyone who knows the Masorah.
Anyone who knows the Masorah, bale hakabbalah.
Not anyone like I guess like.
Does it have any limitations?
Sure.
Is it broader than the Sanhedrin?
Probably.
Does it include more than those 71 people?
Yeah.
I would have thought so, yes.
Could it be referring to the rabbis that argue in the Gemara?
Yes, I think he definitely could. And we'll see soon that I think the Rambam defines it that way. We can't depart from what they tell us to do when it comes to the Torah. But who amru, and that's what it means when it says, Lo sasu min adavar asher yagidu lecha. Interestingly, the Rambam has defined the positive mitzvah as relating to the Sanhedrin, and the negative mitzvah as being, I think, broader than the Sanhedrin. Meaning, do I have to do what the Gemara tells me to do? The Rambam will say, yes. Why? These people are not the Sanhedrin. They didn't necessarily even have a Sanhedrin by the end of the Gemara. Why do I still need to listen to them? Says the Rambam, because Loi Sasur seems to expand beyond the Sanhedrin to the Bale HaKabbalah as well. Yes?
When you just said that you can't argue with them when it comes to Torah, does that mean that you can't argue with them with if something says it's written in the Torah, they say this is what it means, you can't argue with that, or you also can't argue with their
Good. So that the Rambam is going to come to in the top of page 2, and we're going to deal with that explicitly at the top of page 2. Okay? So if we start to fill in this chart on the board, which I'd like to do over the course of now, so why do I have to listen to the Beit Din HaGadol b'Yerushalayim? Okay? Well, actually, we'll fill it in when we've got a little bit more. We'll do a few more sources, and then we'll fill it. We'll fill stuff on the board, and then we'll have more information. The first thing I want you to be aware of, though, is that the Rambam makes this distinction between, on the one hand, the Sanhedrin, and on the other hand, the Bale HaKabbalah. Fine. Who are the Bale HaKabbalah? So I want to suggest to you, like Hannah said, it's the rabbis of the Mishnah and the Gemara, what we call Chazal. Look at number 5. It says the Rambam, Nimsu Ravino v'Ravashi, Ravino and Ravashi, these are the people who wrote the Gemara, the Chavirehem and their associates, Seif Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael, these are the end of the Chachmei Yisrael, Hama'atikin Torah Sheval Peh, who give us Torah Sheval Peh. Meaning, by the time we hit Ravina and Rav Ashi, these are the people who finished off the Gemara. Let's give it a rough date, 600 CE. This is the end of what we call the Torah Sheval Peh. Now, obviously, from 600 CE onwards to today, there's been a lot of analysis, interpretation, application, etc. But that's really the end of the Balea Kabbalah. So the Rambam, I think, understands that Loisasa applies not only to the Sanhedrin, but also to the Gemara. And he says so pretty much explicitly in number 6. If you look at number 6, the Inyan Shner Gemara, what is the Gemara for? We're going to have a whole class, a couple of classes on what is the Gemara. Who perish Divrei Mishnayos, it explains the Mishnayos. Ubir Amkoseh, and explains the depth of the Mishnayos. Udvan Shenitzchatru B'chol Beisdin or Beisdin Miyamos Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Everything that was new after the Mishnah. But it was the Mishnah that contains everything up to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Who's Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, huh? Hanasi, who put together the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that's what he's called. Ad Chibur Gemara. So the Gemara includes all the stuff that happened since Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi up to the Gemara. V'cheiniz bar mehem ha-min ha-goyis. Min hagoyis as opposed to min hagim, we talked about that last time. The hatakanoi, seitkinu, oshinagu, b'chol dor vador. And it records all of the different customs and all the different halachas. K'moshe ra'u based in shal oisador, as that generation thought. And here's the clincher. Lefisha osa lasur mihem, and we're not allowed to depart from the Gemara. Why? Shine emar? Loisosim in adavar ashe yagidu l'chayim in usmol. You're not allowed to depart from what they said, yamin usmol. Fine. I think we can start filling this out here. What is the mitzvah, according to the Rambam, okay, what is the mitzvah of listening to the Bed Din Hagadol B'Yerushalayim? What did he say? Okay, so there's the mitzvah of Kaas there, there's the mitzvah of doing what they say, and there's the mitzvah of Lo Yisosu. So there are two mitzvahs, okay? Let's deal with Chutz M'Yerushalayim in a minute. As far as Chazal is concerned, what did he say was the mitzvah to listen to Chazal? Which one did he say? Lo Yisosu. Okay? Loisasu, which was the negative mitzvah. We don't know about the mitzvah sase, he didn't mention that, but he says there's a loisase of loisasu. When you look at the Rambam in, and this is Michal's question, when you look at the Rambam in Halacha, he fleshes this out a little bit more, and he talks more specifically about what he's talking about.
In the front, the
Rabbanim, there. Okay, which rabbis are we talking about? Now, have a look at number 7. Let's look at the Rambam in Hilchas Mamre. Some of this is revision, but some of this is going to be new. Based in Hagadol Sheb Yerushalayim. Oh, now he's talking about Yerushalayim. The based in Hagadol in Yerushalayim, Heim Ika Teresh Baal Peh. This is the essence of Teresh Baal Peh. The Heim Amudi HaHorah. These are the pillars of Psak. Umehem Chakam Mishpat Yosel Kol Yisrael. From there goes all the Psak to Yisrael. But Aleim Hitzicha HaTorah. And about them it says, Al Pi HaTorah Asher Yerucha, Zo Mitzvahs Aseh. Which we see, that's the mitzvah of Ta'aseh, the Bed Din Yerushalayim, the Chol HaMa'amin, the Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torasa, anyone who wants to have any connection with Torah's Moshe, Chayav Lismoich Ma'aseh HaDat, which is interesting, what's that? Religion, he says you have to rely for your religious matters, Aleihem, Ulishan Aleihem. Now this touches on a subject which we're not getting into today, which is, what kind of things are the Sanhedrin allow me to tell me to do? Is it just technical mitzvahs? Or is it hashkofer? Or is it broader than that? But he said, all matters of religion, we have a positive mitzvah to rely on the Sanhedrin. Yes, Abby.
When the Gemara was written,
yes.
Was that Sanhedrin?
No. Historically, the Sanhedrin was in Yerushalayim. It survived beyond Yerushalayim for about 400 years. And then it came to an end in Eretz Israel. The Gemara, by definition, was in Babel, the Talmud Bavli, anyway. And there was no Sanhedrin. There was a Sanhedrin for Talmud Yerushalmi, correct?
If there was a Sanhedrin, when the Talmud Yerushalmi was written,
right.
And it's saying that you should listen to Talmud Yerushalmi, then why do you
have a Because by the time the Talmud Yerushalmi was written, there was no Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim. It's only called the Talmud Yerushalmi as a cover to Yerushalayim. There were no Jews in Yerushalayim when the Talmud Yerushalmi was written. Where was the Talmud Yerushalmi written, mostly? Where were the Jews living? In Sfat, well, not so much Sfat, but in Severia, in Tzipori, in Bet Shaare. Yeah, all around there. Go over the page. So that was the positive. Now the negative. Kol Misha Eino Oisei Korasan. If you don't follow the Sanhedrin, Oiva B'Loi Saseh. So he says you're doing a negative. Shnei Mar Loi Saseh, etc., etc. And then he lists all the different kinds of mitzvah this applies to. This was our categorization of the five types of Torah Shabbat Peh. Echad Forim Shalamdu Oisami Pi Hashmua. It doesn't matter if we're talking about things that came directly from Moshe, the Haim Torah Shabbat Peh. Echad Forim Shalamdu Mi Pi Da'atam Be'echad Min HaMidot. It doesn't matter if we're talking about things that they derived through the midot, through the 13 principles and more than 13. Okay. The echad varim sha'asim siag le Torah. Meaning, on my chart that I drew many times for you, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you would have seen this in your sleep. When you wake up in the morning, this is the first thing you'll see in your eyes when you wake up. The different kinds of Torah Sheva'al Peh, the Rambam, it applies to all of them. Lo Sasser applies to every one of those five. Stuff from Sinai. If you've never been in the class before, this won't mean anything to you, I'm sorry. But if you have been, basically it's stuff from Sinai, material derived through the Midot, and material which was created by the rabbis as a siag or a sakana. It says Lo Sasser applies to all of them. Kol Echad Be'echad, upon the fourth line, Mi'elu, Hashloisha Dvarim, each of those three columns, okay, mitzvahs asa lishmo lehem, there is a positive mitzvah, v'ha'oiva akol echad mehem oiva b'loy sase, and there's a negative mitzvah as well. And he links it into the pasuk, which I'm not doing now, but he learns out of the wording of the pasuk, al pi ha'teresh, yirucha lecha is one kind, and mishpat asher yomru is another kind, etc., etc. Which, as I said last week, comes out from the Rambam, pretty much, that every mitzvah d'rabbanon that was produced by the Sanhedrin, there are two mitzvahs d'oraisa that go along with it. So Hanukkah, let's take Hanukkah as an example. Everyone agrees the mitzvah to keep Hanukkah, to light Hanukkah lights, to remember Hanukkah, was created by the Sanhedrin. So if you don't light Hanukkah lights, you are breaking two mitzvahs d'oraisa, says the Rambam. What about mitzvahs created later by the rabbis? Okay, so we said that's a little bit different. And we'll have to get onto that when we get onto that. But certainly there's not ta'asa, it seems, but there may be a lo sasa, or where that comes from we'll see in a minute. So that's clear. The Sanhedrin is very clear in Yerushalayim. It was the maximal authority comes from the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim. And like I said last week, many, many, many of the mitzvahs d'rabbanon we have come from that period. All the anonymous, unanimous stuff in the Mishnah itself, which doesn't have a name on it, is attributed to and comes from that period. It was accepted already by the time the Mishnah came out as being set and coming from the Sanhedrin period. Yes?
A bit of a weird question.
Go on then, I like weird questions.
You had mentioned like before that the Sanhedrin had a certain amount of Nevi'im.
At the beginning, but not by the end of the Second Temple.
So did it lose part of its authority once it no longer had Nevi'im on it?
No. The Rambam doesn't mention anything here in this part about Nevi'im being central to the authority. Because in the Pasuk, remember what the Pasuk about the Sanhedrin says. It says Kohanim, Levi'im, and Shoftim. It doesn't mention anything about Nevi'im. The Rambam, we saw last time, writes that for Gezeiras and Takanas, there needed to be at the beginning Nevi'im to kind of give it a kick start, I think. And we weren't exactly clear what the Rambam wanted from Nevi'im there, because the Rambam doesn't seem to go with Nevi'im that much. Yeah, Chacham Adit Minavi, and therefore why does he need a Navi? But he mentions a Navi, but the basic authority of the Sanhedrin does not require a Navi, and it's a good job because they didn't have Nevi'im by the end of the Sanhedrin. Yes?
Can you just clarify for me? I think I might have missed it. With the Tarakan, is it that since Sanhedrin, they can't make a Tarakan, or that...
No, Tarakan is our mitzvah, the mitzvah, it's wording the posit to do it. The mitzvah's asking, do what they said. Okay? Do what they said, and lo sasa, and do not depart from what
right,
they said.
Right, so I'm saying is that once they... Is it that anything they say we don't have to follow it, but we just can't break it? Or
you're talking about after the Sanhedrin, or before?
Yeah,
well, we'll get to after now. We'll get to after when we get to after. Let's just do during. Okay. Now, the Mokum is important. The Sanhedrin moved. What is the authority of the Sanhedrin when it moved out of Yerushalayim? Remember, it moved from. I once went on a very interesting tour. Around the Western Wall tunnels, which we will do Be'ezrat Hashem in February. There's a room which is not on the usual tourist spot, but there's a room down in what was outside the temple complex, which they discovered that Herod. You went to Herodian, so Herod built a lot of stuff. Most of the stuff that King Herod built, he didn't make that special kind of stone structure. You know, when you go to the Kotel, you see the stones, and they've got that kind of rim around them. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There's a special kind of Kotel stone. So you see that in a very few places that King Herod built. You see it in the Kotel. You see it in Maramat HaMachpelah in Hebron, where we're going to go in April. But you don't see it in most other places. But there's one room that he built outside the Yerushalayim, outside the walls of the Beit HaMikdash, that also has the stone. Big, big room. And they're not sure why. And they think that that might be the room that the Sanhedrin moved to when they moved out of the Har HaBayis from the place that they sat in the Lishkat HaGazir into Yerushalayim itself. It's a speculation, they're not sure, but they think it might be the right size, etc. But we know that they moved, The question is, what is the authority of the Sanhedrin once they moved? Have a look in number 8. Just one second. Have a look in number 8. Here he's talking about the Zakin Mamre. The Zakin Mamre, who was rebelling against the Sanhedrin, it says, what if he rebels against them when they're all on holiday? You know, the Sanhedrin didn't sit every single minute of every single day. No doubt they had, breaks. And let's say the whole Sanhedrin goes off to Kibbutz Lavi for Shabbat. And they're having their, Sanhedrin conversations over Shabbos dinner. And Zakin Mamre stands up and says to him, you know something? I'm one of you, but I'm not following your psak. I'm rebelling against your psak. Says the Rambam, Matan chutz l'mekomam, if he comes across them outside their regular place, v'him raleihem, and he rebels against them, patur. He's not chayv misa. Sh'nemar v'kamtz v'alita al ha-makom. It has to be the place. Malamet she ha-makom gorem. The place is definitive. And makom gorem l'misa. The place causes him to die. And therefore, unless they're in Yerushalayim, they just don't have that authority. And the Ramban, Nachmanides, who wrote a gloss on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Ramban included, and we'll look at this more when we talk about the Tariag mitzvahs, the Ramban included mitzvahs that he felt the Rambam had missed out, and deleted mitzvahs that he felt the Rambam shouldn't have included in the 613. There's some very famous ones. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Israel is the big famous one there that the Rambam didn't include, and the Ramban said yes to include. But here, one second, here he comes along and says as follows. Number 9. Malamacha Makam Gorim. Kloma, what does that mean? Kol's Manshan Sanhedrin Gedolah B'Makoyma, as long as they're in their place, Belishkat HaGazit, that's when they're Sanhedrin. Abal Mishegalsa Sanhedrin Gedolah. Once they were exiled, and additionally that was voluntary, Mina Makom Hahu, Baklu Dinin Nefashis Mikol Yisrael, they no longer had the authority to give capital punishment. Even if they went on a tiyul doesn't mean that they're tramping around Sfat. Tiyul means that they're just out of the place. Ma'at, they're lachzor, and they want to come back. Natal koicham. They lost their authority. Rishuta amehem. Actually, yubam makom, and they have to be in their place. And he brings various proofs. Malachim shem makom gorim. The kol shekain la'ach ha'churban. All the more so once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there is no place. And he links it with Bata El HaKohenim Alevim Alamish Al HaShofet. Bizman she'yeh Kohen, if there's a Kohen, then there's a Shofet. Bizman she'ein Kohen, there's no Shofet. Meaning, according to the Ramban, the minute they left Yerushalayim, there is no longer any authority of Lo Sof.
Why?
Because they're not in the place. Because they're not a Sanhedrin anymore. They call a Sanhedrin when they're in the Lishkat HaGazit, but once they left it, even if they step out, they're not a Sanhedrin anymore.
They're
the same people.
They're the same minds.
They have the same minds, but they're the place. Why does he keep talking in the pasuk about the makom, the makom, the makom, the makom? Because he says it's the makom that causes their, gives them their authority. So then that begs the question. So fine, so the rabbis that came later, what authority do they have? Yes, Michal.
How many have to leave for it to not be?
The minute they're not 71 people, they're not a Sanhedrin.
That's it.
Yeah, the minute they're not 71 people, they're not a Sanhedrin. They have to be 71 in the place.
Even if one guy stepped out to use the bathroom?
Well, then they're not quorum. What happens if you go to the Beis Din and two of the Dayanim step out to use the bathroom? They can give up sack then? They're not Beis Din. They're a Beis Din when they're a Beis Din. Okay, so the Beis Din Chutz Mirushalayim. So what is their authority? So according to the Ramban, what does he say? None yet. Actually, that's not true, non, but it's not lo sosser, put it that way. It's not lo sosser. So what is it? We don't know. We'll have to find out what it is. We'll see in a minute. Fine. Go on. The truth is, there's more to say than this, because there is a sifrei. What's a sifrei? The sifrei is the halachic medrash on the book of Devarim and the book of Bamidbar. But he says like this. If you look in number 10, ubata. Why does it say ubata in the pasuk? You will come. Says the Sifrei, the rabbi is to include Beis Din Sheba Yavna. Comes to include the Beis Din in Yavna. That's interesting, because that's not what we just said. We just said that it didn't include the Beis Din once they stepped out of Yerushalayim. So what's this Sifra going like? Is this just a Widow Paschal like the Sifra? Or is this a Doraisa? Is this a Drabonon? How does this work? So I brought you 11 and 12, which introduces a very interesting wrinkle into the whole thing, which is the Loisosor can work on two levels. And here you have to get your head into it. It's a bit complicated. Loisosor can work on a Doraisa level, but it can also work on a Drabonon level. How can there be a rabbinic mitzvah to listen to the rabbis? Is that circular or is that not circular? It's not circular for reasons that we'll see in a second. Have a look in number 11 and 12, and you'll see where I think that this is coming from. Says this commentary here on the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Magen Nisa Tava. The Hineni Moisif Ledvarav. I want to add here. Da'afilu Gazru based in Hagadol B'Yerushalayim Chutz L'Lishkas HaGazru. Even if they step out and they make a gezera, so what is the authority of these people? Afal pi shepashta gezeras sama tekanasam b'chol Yisrael. Even though it spreads through the whole Jewish people, ein b'chol tekanasam min hagam loy asay v'loy loy sasay min haTorah. So, like, just like the Rambam says, when they've stepped out of the Lishkas HaGozes, then they no longer have the same authority of the Aseh and the Lois Aseh. Ela Asmach de Ba'almi. What's an Asmach de Ba'almi? We talked about this before. No, not cute. I don't like cute. Fine. So, I don't like the word cute, because cute sounds as though it's not real. Okay? I know what you mean, though. An Asmach de Ba'almi means...
They're learning it in.
Meaning, says the Magen Nisa Tova, and the Ran is going to agree with it. It also says Derech Asmachta in a minute. There's such a thing as Loisasa Drabonon. That they created a whole level of Loisasa Drabonon, and that is the authority of rabbis to come maybe after. Certainly, he's saying the rabbis that step, once they step out of the Lishkas HaGozes. So, how does that work? What is Loisasa Drabonon? First of all, who would have created Loisasa Drabonon? The rabbis, which rabbis?
Sanhedrin.
The Sanhedrin. Meaning, it's not circular, because he's saying the Sanhedrin have the authority of Loisasa Doraita when they're the Sanhedrin. But just like they can create different levels of Drabonon, you have to keep Hanukkah, you have to keep this, you have to keep that, they also create a Loisasa Drabonon which applies to the rabbis afterwards. So it could be that there's a Loisasa Drabonon, okay, Loisasa Drabonon, which applies afterwards. Why do I care? It's all coming from Loisasa anyway. They're just trying to work out what is the authority of these people once they step out of the Sanhedrin. Yes, Connie.
How can the Rabbanim create a Loisasa on the Rabbanim? Because we don't have to listen to them, and we don't have to listen to them,
they have to. Oh, good. So that's what I'm trying to ask, and that's what I said before, is it circular? So I can't tell you that you have to listen to me because you have to listen to me. But I think the way it works is like this. The rabbis in the Lishkas HaGazit had Loisasa Doraisa. Definitely. Everyone agrees on that. They can make a mitzvah drabonon and say, just like we have authority.
How would they know what was going to happen? That they would
no, because the writing was on the wall. They knew that the Sanhedrin would not last forever. That was clear already for many, many years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And therefore they could create a level of Loisasa on a rabbinic level. Now, what difference it makes practically is an interesting question, because Loisasa on a rabbinic level at the end of the day is Loisasa on a Doraisa level. And you end up getting interesting, you know, things going on in your head. Correct. Yes.
So what do you mean?
Right. Which ultimately is Loisasa.
It depends on them being in Yerushalayim.
Right. It means there had to be someone originally in Yerushalayim that created a halacha, that halacha applies, and now the halacha is... In other words, the mitzvah to listen to the rabbi maybe after the Sanhedrin is another mitzvah drabbanon that was created by the Sanhedrin, just like to light Hanukkah candles, to light Shabbat candles, etc., etc. Yes.
What do you mean that they're not, you don't listen to them once they're not in the Sanhedrin?
Because the Pasuk said the place.
You can listen to a rabbi, and he's not part of the Sanhedrin.
You mean today?
Yeah.
You can, but do you have to? If a group of rabbis stand up and says, you have to do this, you have to listen to them.
I mean, it'd be nice if I did it.
Well, I don't know, maybe it wouldn't be nice if you did. Depends what they want you to do. That this is a very important question. What authorities the rabbis have? So we're just trying to grapple with the Sanhedrin had definitely Loisasa Doraisa.
Like the Sanhedrin doesn't have authority after they
left. Correct. The Sanhedrin didn't have authority after they left.
But the Sanhedrin.
No, not that what they said didn't have authority. The new people have no authority. Obviously the authority is still in the old people. The new people who replaced the Sanhedrin. Okay? The rabbis of that day. Yeah.
So, I know that a later basin can overrule the one that came before it. Did that apply within Sanhedrin? Yes, definitely.
We'll see that when
so if an original Sanhedrin had made both Hathor and Rabbanon, and yes. For some reason a later Sanhedrin wanted to overrule that.
Okay, but as long as they were still the Sanhedrin, they can do that. But once they've left being the Sanhedrin.
Basin can't overrule the Sanhedrin.
Correct. Only Sanhedrin can overrule the Sanhedrin. Let's talk about it afterwards, okay? I want to move on to something else, which is related, which will bring it up to today. Now, We haven't talked at all about rabbis after the time of the Gemara. The most we've got is the Balei HaKabbalah, and I want to bring you two Rambams, which I think are going to throw a lot of light on what happens today. Because, you know, we can wrap our minds up in circles about Lo Sasa Daraisa, Lo Sasa Drabonon, but at the end of the day, today, what is the authority of rabbis? So let's move that forward a little bit. Look at number 13. The Rambam is now going to talk specifically about the Gemara. Because by the time there was the Gemara, there was no Sanhedrin. That we know already. So what is their authority? So he said before, he thought it was still included in Lois Sasser. Look at number 13. Now he says something a little bit different. Aval kol advarim sheba Gemara. This is very relevant. The Gemara says, I don't know, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that, or you must do this, must do that. All the things that we find in the Gemara habavli. Chayavim kol Yisrael alechet bahem. We have to follow them. Okay, why? The Kaifin kol ir v'ir v'kol medina medina. All the people all over the world have to follow them. And this was not so straightforward. When the Gemara was being, if you like, disseminated, there were groups of people who said, look, you know, why do we have to follow this? What authority do these rabbis in Babylonia have over our community in Alexandria and Egypt? Why don't we follow our local rabbis? So he says, B'cholamin, Hagos, all the things he said, Tadusha, Nagu, V'chachme, Agamara, Ligzor, Gezer, Seim, Alechaz, V'chachme, I mean, Hagos and Gezer, Sakonis, why? So here's the magic word. Hoyo, V'chol, Oitam, Advarim, Shebe, Gemara, Hiskimo, Aleim, Kol Yisrael. Now what does that mean? That Kol Yisrael were maskim to what went into the Gemara. What does that mean?
The majority.
Who, what does it mean that Kol Yisrael, what's Haskama?
Agreement.
Agreement. So what does it mean that Kol Yisrael was maskim to what was in the Gemara?
Everyone
accepted it. Who's everyone? Not the Sanhedrin. There was no Sanhedrin.
So majority or
the which people? The Jewish people. The Jewish people as a whole, says the Rambam, an interesting thing. What makes the Gemara, apart from this issue of the Balei HaKabbalah, which he said was Lo Sasser, is acceptance by the Jewish people. Okay? Acceptance. Okay. Okay, so, and you know something? And you know something? There were people who were... My writing wasn't very clear. Let's do it in Hebrew. Okay? Haskamah HaKlav. Okay? So the people agreed to accept the Gemara. Now, those people in Alexandria, in the end, were brought around. But the Rambam is going to say that after the Gemara, and this is critical for our days, there was never a time after the Gemara that the Jewish people could all agree on anything.
Well, at the time of the Gemara, they all agreed that...
So think about it. At the time of the Gemara, where was the Jewish population living mostly? In Babylon. With a few pockets of people elsewhere, very little going on in Eretz Israel by that time, a little bit going on in Egypt, okay? But there hadn't been this explosion of diaspora, there was no diaspora. And the Rambam in number 14, which I think is probably the key source, is going to explain how historically that happened. Look at number 14 carefully. Kol Beit Din She'amad Achar HaGemara. Every Beit Din that comes after the Gemara, that means today, okay? B'chol Medina Medina. In any country, the Gazar, and he wants to make a new Gezerah. He wants to make a Gezerah that not only is chicken fleshik, but fish is also fleshik, and you can't eat fish with milk. Comes along and says that. Or he wants to make a Gezerah, you're not allowed to eat kidneys on Pesach. Or something like that. Or Hinhig, Lebnei Bedinas, or he wants to make a new Minag. Or Lebnei Bedinas, rabbis, or for many countries. Loi Pashtu Masa B'chol Yisrael. It just didn't spread. The Gemara was the last time that there was a real acceptance. Why didn't it spread? So the Rambam gives an interesting, almost like socio-historical reason. Because people just live too far apart. What happened after the Gemara? We're talking around the year 500. The world enters into something that we now call the Dark Ages. What's the deal with the Dark Ages? What brought, you've heard of the Dark Ages. Okay? What precipitated the Dark Ages? What broke down that had been there beforehand? Which empire?
The Roman Empire.
In other words, you can say what you like about the Roman Empire. They weren't particularly moral, ethical, nice people, or whatever. I mean, that's obviously a bit of a gross generalization. But they did at least keep the place together. Meaning, you could go from one side of the Roman Empire to the other side of the Roman Empire, and there was someone in charge. They called it the Pax Romana. Okay, if you disagreed with them, they crucified you, okay? It wasn't what you call modern democratic society. But there was a... There was authority. What happens is the Rambam is when that broke down, the world kind of fell apart. And after the Gemara of course wasn't in the Roman Empire, the Babylon was in, it was out of that, but also you had the same kind of breakdown happening there. The years 600, 700, 800 were very difficult years. They're a bit of a black hole. Like, what's going on in those years? And the Rambam says people just couldn't travel. People just lived too far away. The Shibush Hadrachim. What's Shibush Hadrachim? Right, you couldn't travel on the roads because it was just impossible. The Hayos based in Shal Oysa HaMedina, and since one Bedin in one country, Yechidim were now Yechidim. There was no public authority. Well, Bedin HaGadol Shal Shivim Ve'echad Batal Mikamashan, and there was no Sanhedrin for hundreds of years. Kodim Chibur Gemara, already before the Gemara. Lefikach Ein Kaitim Anshe Medina Zol In Hog Keminhag Medina Acheret. Therefore, no country can force any other country to do what they want to say, because there's no authority anymore. The Ein Omrim LeBeit Din Zeh Ligzor Gzeres Shegazru Beit Din Acher Minyaseinu. No Beit Din can turn around and say we have authority over the whole Jewish world. Think about it. When did the Sephardi Ashkenazi split happen? About when?
Because there was a mountain range between Germany and France.
Right. The Sephardi Ashkenazi split happened around the 9th, 10th century. The Jews in North Africa ended up being called the Sephardim in Spain. And the Jews in Northern Europe ended up being called the Ashkenazi. Okay? Once there's different Jewish communities, the Ashkenazi come up with some new thing. It doesn't bind the Sephardim. And the Sephardi come up with some new thing. He doesn't bind the Ashkenazim. Why? Because there's no universal haskama to the whole thing. The Gemara was the last thing that anyone did that the whole Jewish people actually agreed upon.
Even the people who wrote the Talmud Yerushalmi agree on the Talmud Bavli.
No, the Talmud Yerushalmi was before the Talmud Bavli. The Talmud Yerushalmi was... Right, because the Bavli, it's an interesting question how much the Bavli actually knows about the Yerushalmi. There's a whole debate about that, which we'll talk about when we have a shiur on the Talmud Yerushalmi and the Talmud Bavli. But the Talmud Bavli, let's just say for now, incorporates the Talmud Yerushalmi. It's more complicated. It's more complicated than that. It's more. There's a whole riff there. We have to see that when we see it. Bezrat Hashem. V'chein, im lamad echad me'ag go'onim, if any of the go'onim, these days he says, learn shederech hamishpat kachu, that this is the halacha. V'nidbar lebeis din acher, and another beis din says somewhere else she'amad acharav, that comes afterwards she'ein zederech hamishpat. They disagree with it. Hakasav b'gemara, it's not what the gemara means. Ein shonim levishon. You mentioned yiridus haderes. Who mentioned yiridus haderes? Kani says the Rambam. No, that doesn't apply. Later batei din are no longer bound by earlier batei din. Ela lemisha adas nosel ledvarav bein rishon bein acher. We can go whichever one we like, earlier or later. The only thing you can't disagree with now is the Gemara. That's the only thing you can't disagree with. Once you're after the Gemara, anyway, it's an open playing field. And if you look for a second in number 17, the Ramat HaKapaskan is that way. Look in number 17 for a second. It says, Mihu Yesh Omrim, he brings in. The Im Nira L'dayan L'bnei Doire, if a Dayan in his generation feels, Mikoyach Rayas Mukrachos, through any kind of proofs that he can bring. She'ein adin kamoshe huska b'poiskim, that he doesn't agree with the way it's said previously in the poiskim. Yochal lachmat alei. You can disagree with them. You are not bound by earlier generations anymore, he says. Ma'acha she'ein aniska gemara. As long as it's not written in the gemara was the last thing that has authority. Says the gra. Da'ala gemara ein rishus lahoysiv aloi ligra. You can't add or take away from the Gemara. Kol sheken lachlok. You certainly can't disagree with the Gemara. As it says, Ravina Ravati Soparot. So Taka, so what is the authority of the poskim after Chazal? Is it Lois Sasur?
No.
So what is it? Maybe there's that Durabonon Lois Sasur, maybe, like the Ram said there's a Lois Sasur Durabonon. Okay? But says the Rambam, at the end of the day, the authority of the poskim after Chazal is, you know, local acceptance. Meaning, there is no group of people, says the Rambam today, that can turn around and say, we bind Klal Yisrael.
Yep.
We
have people in each different
place. Yeah, they have people in different places. That's why the Sephardim can make halachas for the Sephardim, and the Ashkenazim can make minhagim and Ashkenazim for the Ashkenazim, and different communities for different communities. But no one can turn around and say that we are now the...
Why do people always say, I'm right.
What people say is what people say. You know, but no one can turn around now and say we are the authority for the Jewish world. The question is whether this still applies or not. you know, in the late 20th century and the early 21st century, now that everyone is now joined up again, and the whole global communication has joined the whole Jewish world back up again, somebody sitting in New York can pick up a telephone and get involved in a machlokas somewhere in Yerushalayim and say, well, the fact that I happen to be 5,000 miles away is irrelevant because, you know, we're all in one big, you know, global village now. Is this now beginning to change? And there is a, like, almost a feeling that now everyone is in one big cholent with everybody else. Right, and this is all part of this kind of modern feel that things have changed and things have moved and maybe there is now a unifying feature in Klal Yisrael. But at the end of the day, for the Rambam, the authority of the Gemara is key, and after the Gemara there is no authority for all of Klal Yisrael. That's very important. Of course, you have a local Rav, but if you don't like your local Rav, you don't have to ask your shilas to your local Rav. You can go live in Yemen and be a Yemenite, and, you know. I mean, I wouldn't recommend going to live in Yemen, just in case you think that's personal advice. Yes.
Right, because what you just said, I feel like removing the Isser of Lothasser allows for people to go rabbi shopping, and isn't that not okay?
No, rabbi shopping is a bad attitude, meaning, rabbi shopping means, I know what the answer is that I want, I'm going to find the rabbi that can give you that answer. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
we're talking about,
you
like...
You don't have to follow the rabbi in your days, the one who you're asking her down.
Let me ask you a question. Can any rabbi come up to you and say to you, Jessica, I will now be your rabbi? No, why not? Because I say lecha rav. You pick your own rabbi. Now the Sanhedrin and the Gemara can come around and say, I will be your Gemara. And if you turn around and say, well, I don't like your Gemara, has anyone else got a better one? The answer is no, this is the Gemara. Or, no, Rosetta does not apply to the. Yes, applies to the Gemara for sure, 100%, and to the anything that came from the Gemara and the Sanhedrin, like Rosetta applies. Meaning, if you decide not to make a brocha when you eat, then you're breaking the mitzvah of Lo Sosa, because Chazal said to make a brocha, you're breaking two doraitas, and therefore that's a very serious business. But if you decide not to have a kosher phone, because your community or your rabbi says that you don't need to have a kosher phone, whereas these rabbis are screaming and shouting, every Jew has to have a kosher phone. You can turn around and say, excuse me, it's not in the Gemara, it doesn't say that I have to listen to you, because you're not my rabbi, and therefore you don't have the authority to tell me
they
to
they
use
this.
Well, that's an interesting question as well. If you, ask a if you ask a Shaila, then you do. The question is, we'll talk next...
If they, like, you're in their community, and there's this one rabbi that happens that you have to, then they have a prayer phone.
So then we're going to have to get into a discussion about what areas the rabbis have authority over anyway. Is it just basic halachic issues? Is it hashkafic issues? Is it religious issues? What is das Torah? Can rabbis regulate my life generally? There's a whole discussion to be had there. But for now, I want you to understand, just to get clarity in today's class, the shita of the Rambam is that loisos applies to A, the Sanhedrin, B, maybe the Balei HaKabbalah as we go further, but no further than that. No further than the Gemara. Yes, Ellie. Oh, so we'll get to that.
What?
But that, of course, is only on Lo Sosser. Yamina Smol is only written in Lo Sosser. Don't deviate to the right or to the left. And we'll have to understand what that means. What if you realize, even in the Sanhedrin, what if you realize they made an obvious mistake? Do you have to follow them even if they're wrong? And what is wrong? Which is an interesting question. What is truth? If the rabbis say this is a halacha, does that make it true? What if they made a mistake, etc.? Right, we'll have to talk about multiple truths and what that means. There is a whole procedure in place in the Chumash as to what to do when the Sanhedrin gets it wrong. So clearly the Sanhedrin is not infallible and they can get it wrong. And the Mishnah even says, there it's not in Eduyos, it's in Horaios, The Mishnah in Horaios at the beginning there says that if you know for sure that you know the Sanhedrin got it wrong, you're not allowed to follow them. So we'll have to see how that works. But that's not for today. Yes.
But you said, this is the Gemara, and I said, I don't like that Gemara, I want to pick my own. But Rabbi Yosef Karo said, this is my Shulchan Aruch.
And you know something, that's a very interesting example. Who says you have to listen to the Shulchan Aruch? There were many people...
Lo nachon.
It's not true. There are situations where we don't pass about the Shulchan Aruch. And not just that. When the Shulchan Aruch first came out, there were many people who were very unhappy with the whole endeavor of the Shulchan Aruch. You read what the Maharshal says about the Shulchan Aruch. He says, now, the Shulchan Aruch, he feels it's a bit like the art scroll of the time. He says, you know, the way that...
I'm also
He says the way that we paskin shilas is we learn the Gemara, and we paskin based on the Gemara, based on the expertise. And he writes there, we'll see that whole source from the Marashal, that he says, today there are so many people with smicha, and none of them know anything. And they come and they show me the Shulchan Aruch, what's written in the Shulchan Aruch, and say, I have to do that, because it's written in a book. And he's not happy about it. He's not casting any aspersions on the authority of Rav Yosef Karo as a Rav, but the actual work of the Shulchan Aruch, who says he binds everybody? Who is the Rav Yosef Karo to bind the whole world? Now, it turned out that the Jewish world, at the end of the day, was Makabel, and maybe I'll bring in your points on number 16. Maybe there's a point, Hannah, that you're correct, that when the whole Jewish world kind of decides that it does accept something, then that gives it authority. Look at this Chazon Ish for a second in number 16. Since you mentioned it, I'll mention it here. We did, but we might look at it in a second. Have a look here in number 16. Soif dava hara ha-mekubeles. The hara, a teaching which is accepted, mipi rabboseinu, from the rabbis, asher mipi manu chayim, kama maran ha-bet yosef. He brings the example of the Shulchan Aruch. Ha-magin avram, the ha-mishna brura. Hi hara mekuyemes kemoi mipi sanhedrin belishkas agazis. What is the Chazon Ish here saying? If the Mishnah Berurah says something, it's as if it was said by the Sanhedrin in the Lishkat HaGazit. Is he saying literally that? Or is he saying, is he more polemic? Is he trying to get people to listen to the Mishnah Berurah? I think he might be saying a little bit, there's such a thing as a Kabbalah. If the Mishnah Berurah becomes the accepted halachic psak for a certain part of the Jewish world, then that becomes binding upon them. But that begs the question, who's accepted the Mishnah Berurah? You know, the Mishnah Berurah has become very popular over the last 50 years. I remember once I was standing in a Yekesh shul, and they were davening mincha quite a long time after Shkia. And I turned round in my naive innocence to the guy next to me and said, well, aren't we davening a bit late? It's very clear the Mishnah Berurah is not allowed to daven after Shkia. And he gives me this sort of withering look, and he said, why should we paskin like the Mishnah Berurah? Like, you know, we have our own Masorah. We don't have to paskin like the Mishnah Berurah just because the Mishnah Berurah says that. Now the Chazon Ish is saying it's like from the Sanhedrin Melishkat HaGazit. Well, that depends on which community has accepted it. Sfaradim aren't going to pass it like the Mishnah Berurah necessarily, are they?
So it's based on the people who accept it, or the rabbis?
No, the people. In other words, there is such a thing as a communal Kabbalah, and maybe that gives it its binding nature. He says Kimo Melishkat HaGazit. I don't know if he means that literally. I just want to end up in the last few minutes with number 18, which I think is a fascinating point. Michal, question, and then I'll do number 18.
It was just with the whole like rabbi shopping thing.
Well, you have to have a consistent halachic approach, which usually means a seilach harav. On a practical level, I'm not giving a practical halacha share today. On a practical level, how do you know which way you're halachically inclined? You get yourself a rabbi and you follow his derech. Now, that doesn't mean you can only have one rabbi. Okay, he says a seilach harav knelach achaver. You don't have to have one friend, you don't have to have one rabbi, but there has to be consistency in the way that you ask your shayla. In other words, most people are not themselves qualified to be able to develop a whole kind of world sort of Weltanschauung in how to work out halacha. So they need guidance, just like I'm not going to plumb my own house without going to some expert advice. I'm not going to start developing my own halachic system without getting advice. But if you understand what you're doing and you're able to pass them properly, then yeah, absolutely. So, but you need, usually a seilach harav is how you get that, you know, guidance. Look at number 18. Because the Meshech Chochma, we'll finish with this, brings a very interesting point. Which is, okay, fine, there's lois sosser. The rabbis create a certain reality. They decree certain things, and we have a mitzvah doraisa to listen to them. Maybe even two mitzvahs doraisa, depending on which rabbis you're talking about. So first of all, he talks about lois sosser. And then he asks a very interesting philosophical question. Does God want me to do what the rabbis tell me to do? This is an interesting question. Meaning, if I break what the rabbis say, to what extent is God involved in that equation? Now, of course, none of us know how God's perspective works on anything, really. But he's raising the philosophical, theological question. Pick it up five lines up from the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up to the bottom, in the middle of the line. In Cain, you with me? After it says Yamin Ismol. In Cain, ha-mitzvah dafke lishmo ha-mashi omru. What is the mitzvah of lois sosser? It is the mitzvah, really, to listen to what they say. Aval ha-inyan ba-asmoi, but the detail itself, sha-omru v'chidshu. The specifics, lighting this Chanukah candle. When we say the brocha, ha-sher kidishanu b'mitzvah yisav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us, Lahad Likner Shal Shabbat. Does God want me to light a Hanukkah candle? He says, Esha, De'elu mitkabel el rotzon habayim. Maybe God, he says, this is Meshech Chochmeh, in the Shita of the Rambam, at least, maybe God doesn't really care whether I light the candle or don't light the candle. And if a later Bed Din would come around and say, you shouldn't light Hanukkah candles, at the time of the Sanhedrin, let's say they overrode Hanukkah and they said, no, we don't keep Hanukkah anymore. Or for whatever reason, the people didn't accept the halacha of the Bed Din. We'll see that the people's acceptance is very important. But Yasu Hefech Mazer, Mutter. Meaning, how can it be that Chazal, I understand when the Torah doesn't change, the Torah says that you can't eat pork. So that's what God wants me to do on whatever level that means, and therefore I can't eat pork. But if Chazal creates a halacha, they say in this generation to do this, and then in the next generation Chazal change it and they say don't do this, do that. So what is that? What is like? Is God kind of switching around? Yes, do this now, but not do that then. So he says, really, what's going on with Lo Sasor is the mitzvah is to listen to the Chachamim. That's the key. The details are less critical. I mean, we've got to get the details right because the Chachamim said so, but from a religious perspective, the mitzvah is to connect ourselves with Chazal. The Afin Yichavno Emes, even if the earlier Bed Din was quote-unquote right, and the next Din was quote-unquote wrong, and this was going to introduce the whole issue of multiple truths, Kipi Mashihu Rotsan Habayra Be'emet, and this kind of brings in the whole Gemara there about Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, where Rabbi Lezer brings a bas kol and they reject the bas kol, we can deal with that. The whole point of Lo Sasor, and this is what I said last time and I'll mention it again, there was meant to be a system whereby rabbis could bring in new things, can create new halacha, and it wasn't meant to be eternal, okay? It's coming from Chazal in that generation. Therefore the mitzvah of Lo Sasor, it's not that God wants me to like make a shehakol nihiyed bavaro when I drink whiskey. That's not necessarily the point. The point is that Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to listen to this group of people, however you define this group of people, the Sanhedrin, the Balei HaKabbalah, whatever it is. But the specifics are less relevant. But they perish of Yerushalmi, okay? And that's why it says in the Yerushalmi that what is the bracha on a drabonon? It's Asher Kiddushan Mitzvah Sabbath Sivanu Al Mitzvah Sekenim. Which is interesting. There's a sheet in the Yerushalmi that every single Mitzvah Drabbanon you do, you make the same bracha, which is, what does God want me to do? Asher Kiddushan Mitzvah Sabbath Sivanu, to listen to the Chachamim. Now what's the Nafkimina? Why does this matter? So let me ask you a question. If you, by accident, break a Torah Mitzvah, you ate pork and you thought it was beef, did you do an Aveira?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you need to do Tshuva?
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a whole system, Shogei, Kurbanos, etc. If you by accident did a mitzvah, an Issa Drabonon, by accident you picked up a piece of something which was Muksa on Shabbos, put a piece. Did you do an Aveira?
Yeah.
So, but did you not listen to the rabbis?
No, it was an accident.
Meaning, what is the Aveira? What is the Aveira? The Aveira is to turn around and say, why do I need the rabbis? I don't want to listen to the rabbis. So you didn't do that. You did an accident. Do you need to do tshuva if you did a drabonon by mistake? That's a very interesting shaila, and there's a whole debate about that. And it kind of turns on this issue as to what really is the essence of what a drabonon is. You're not allowed to pick up a piece of muksa by accident, and you have to learn not to do that, and you have to learn more, and obviously you have to try not to do it again. The question is it an aveira in the same way? Anyway, lots to think about. Hopefully you have more of a structure in what Lo Sasor is and what the authority of the rabbis is. And next time we'll look at the Sefer HaChinuch, who has a rather different approach to the whole thing. Okay, let's leave it there for now.